As and Justice Station, making it a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at WPFWFM.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at WPFWFM.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Code Pink Women for Peace is coming to you live from Washington, D.C. and New York City, Thursday at 11 a.m. Code Pink Radio is an energizing new program focused on ending wars and militarism and building a peace economy. Listen weekly to robust conversation and inspiration from grassroots peacemakers from places like Korea, Yemen, Venezuela, Palestine, and Iran, as well as peacemakers in our nation's capital who are confronting war hawks in the White House and in Congress and modeling the actions we want our government to take. Again, that's Code Pink Radio, Thursdays at 11 a.m. on Washington, D.C.'s WPFW and New York City's WBAI, an engaging hour of cutting-edge conversation not to be missed.
We are women of the world. We're from the east, south, north, and west.
Hello, I'm Dave Zirin, host of WPFW's The Collision, with an editorial. Mahmoud Khalil, a student at Columbia University and a U.S. permanent resident, has been illegally detained by ICE for organizing against the U.S.-supported genocide in Palestine. In detaining Khalil, the Trump administration, the State Department, and the Department of Homeland Security have made clear that they are more than willing to violate constitutionally protected rights to punish those who speak out against them and Israel's war on the people of Gaza. This is a deeply alarming development. It is a march towards authoritarianism. It is a blatant encroachment on our democracy, and it places all of us in peril, especially members of the most vulnerable and marginalized communities in our country. In the words of Angela Davis, if they come for me in the morning, they will come for you at night. Standing together as people of conscience and demanding Mahmoud Khalil's freedom, it is a stand against fascism, and it is a stand for our collective right to free speech and protest. I'm Dave Zirin. This has been a WPFW editorial.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going to walk the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go. Let's go.
The jury of your peers, having found you guilty, 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get in that cell.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now, here's your host, Roach Brown.
Well, I'm not Roach Brown, but I am the second in the chair, I guess you could say, Nikichi Taifa, Roach and Martina down there at Ben's Chili Bowl. And they're getting some technical techie techs then straightened out, and they will be on very soon. But while we're waiting, this is Nikichi Taifa, okay? I'm his co-pilot, I guess you could say. And we will be starting the second hour of the Crossroads broadcast that is part of the first Tuesday of the month that's at Ben's Chili Bowl. So I just wanted to give some shout outs because we did have some more donations to Crossroads. We started out with Beverly. Thank you so very much for that donation. We also had a donation from Anonymous from Silver Spring, Maryland. We had a donation from Janice Jefferson from Chevy Chase, Maryland. And Janice is saying she's coming back for more and also for the more rap. And if anybody knows what the more rap is, the more rap is a part of Martine Moore's attire. So again, this is the WPFW Spring Pledge Drive, okay? And we really need you to donate to this radio station, because where else are you going to get programming such as this? And we're waiting for Roach and Martine to get back online. They're at Ben's Chili Bowl, as I said, and our second hour will be starting soon with none other than the phenomenal Dr. Edwin Chapman. And, you know, he's going to be talking about some very, very critical issues, as he always does in the medical community. But while we're waiting for that, we just really want to that you have the opportunity to contribute. And I hear that Roach is back in now, so I'm going to turn it back over, because my voice is hoarse now, just getting over a cold. So turning it back over to Roach Brown.
Good. All right, Nikita, thank you. We're still here at the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl on U Street. And we had an interesting show. We talked about the cannabis business in Washington, and we had two very knowledgeable and informed people. And we had the pioneer, the first woman and daughter, mother and daughter team, who has a cannabis license in D.C. and is located east of the river on Martin Luther King Avenue. Linda Mercado Green, and we also had Kevin Petty, a returning citizen who got a license. And the fact is, D.C. City Council passed a law a couple of years ago to grant 50 people with criminal records the cannabis licenses. And would you believe, in that 2 year time, has nobody been able to get off of ground zero to get it started, because it takes a lot of money, investment, resources, and you got to go jump through a lot of hoops and a lot of jiggy boogie. But still, it's worth something, that you can create an industry and a job and an opportunity for those folks who were punished and penalized and incarcerated for using the same product. Now you can do it legally. That was our first hour. We're waiting on our guest to come in, Dr. Edwin Chapman.
He's in. He's in, Roach.
Okay. Are you here?
He's in on the Zoom.
You're on the phone or the Zoom, Doc?
He's on the Zoom.
Hello. All right, Dr. Chapman. Zoom. All right, we're going to pull you right up, Doc. I knew you'd be there. Dr. Edwin Chapman, M.D., D-A-R-I-M, and F-A-S-A-M. He's an opioid researcher, and he's been on working in the community for the last 30, 40 years dealing with the opioid crisis. And it is a crisis in Washington, D.C., and we have no better person to tell us about us or keep us informed than Dr. Edwin Chapman. He has a guest that's been joining one of his patients, but I guess he's trying to get on too. This new technology is challenging, but it's beautiful, and it makes us sound a lot more better coming to you. So good morning, Dr. Edwin Chapman. Are you there?
Hi, Roach.
Well, hello, Doc. You sound so far away. I thought you was right down the street.
I'm on the east side.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us, Doctor. We wanted to talk to you because you and I speak 2-3 times a week, man, and the opioid and the fentanyl crisis in D.C. And every time we talk 2-3 times a week, you bring a different issue to the forefront that we need to address. What is your take, Doc, on what's going on in Washington, D.C. with the opioid and fentanyl crisis, especially and also about what's going on with the D.C. jail with those men and women over there who are receiving medical treatment? They can't get in the street, but they got to go to get locked up in order to receive opioid and fentanyl treatment over at the jail. You got it, Doc.
So, Roach, you know, we've been focusing on an older population for years. Generally, our population was those who initially started using street drugs in the form of heroin. In about 2015, the heroin began infiltrated with synthetic drugs, most notably fentanyl. And so from 2015 to the present. We went from 15% fentanyl to now somewhere between 96 and 98% fentanyl. So our overdose death rate was primarily in an older population. Those generally born between 1950 and 1970. And you and I were involved in an article written by 51st News that talked about that. But now we have another generation that's brewing. And about 2 years ago, I went into the DC jail with the Leadership Council for Healthy, Leadership Council for Healthy Communities, with the idea that we needed to address this younger population that's now being incarcerated. But when we went into the DC jail in 2023, there were about 250 inmates there being treated for opioid use disorder with methadone and buprenorphine and perhaps injectable naltrexone. In 2024, that 250 became 400. And it's my understanding now that there are over 500 residents in the DC detention center being treated for opioid use disorder with medication-assisted treatment, which is the standard of care. So this medication is the standard of care. All of these medications are FDA approved, and they reduce, generally, methadone and buprenorphine have been proven to reduce overdose deaths by 50%. The problem is what happens when they're discharged? Because when they go into the jail, they lose their insurance, which is generally DC Medicaid. And when they come out, their insurance has to be reactivated. Of course, they don't have a job, and in many instances, they don't have a place to stay. So what we're seeing is the the idea is why these numbers are going up, because it's a setup for recidivism.
Doc, you said that it's 500 patients over at the DC jail on medication for fentanyl and heroin. What is it? You said when you go to jail, they lose their insurance. And now you got people inside of the jail, over 500 patients receiving medication, but they're in the street. They can't get the, in other words, you got to go to jail to get treatment, or is that what you're saying?
So the District of Columbia reportedly has a 98% insurance coverage. That means that 96 to 98% of people in the District of Columbia have insurance. And many of these young folks generally, when they go into jail, have insurance. So the question is, why is it that they are not getting treated without committing a crime?
Well, that don't make sense to me. It's kind of backwards, isn't it? I know you had a gentleman that was joining us, one of your patients. Was he able to join us, Quentin, February?
He's supposed to be there at the at Ben's Chili Bowl.
He just came. He just walked in. Yeah, he just walked in. Yeah, we just called your name, brother. Thank you. Just have a seat. We get right with you. He just walked in, Doc. He want to give us some personal, firsthand story of what's going on. Doc, let me ask you this. You told me a week or so ago that you've been providing services and treatment for quite a few patients and not being compensated, and it just cuts your contract to provide these services. What's your status now? How are you able to help or provide medical services, and you've been terminated from being compensated?
Well, there are two issues. One, the gentleman who is there in this in Ben's Chili Bowl with you, was one of the residents that we met 2 years ago. He got out in January. And of course, as I mentioned, he did not have insurance. So we were able to connect him through the Department of Behavioral Health for emergency medication with buprenorphine at a public health clinic. He still has not had his insurance turned on. The second issue is the fact that there are three Medicaid MCOs, and one of those Medicaid MCOs, MedStar Health, that I've been working with for the 2 or 3 years that they've had a Medicaid contract in the district, wants to, or sent me a notice that they're terminating my contract. And that was because of some issues that I raised related to illegally demanding that beginning January 1st, that these patients had to get prior authorization to get branded buprenorphine. A lot of our patients prefer branded, and by law, that's illegal. They do not have to get prior authorization. So those are some of the issues that I face having worked with this population for 25 years now. So, you know, again, we're being hit from multiple angles with people just like you've heard with United Healthcare. They're there to make money, not necessarily to provide services. And my job is to protect the patients, to be an advocate, and that's why we're here.
You know, we got Quentin February just joined us. He's one of the patients of Dr. Chapman, and he suggested that we bring him on with us this morning. Quentin February, after 2 years, was discharged from the D.C. Detention Center and referred to Dr. Chapman for continuing maintenance treatment with buprenorphine for opiate use disorder. He was homeless, unemployed, and still has not been able to get his Medicaid reinstated, and therefore has been being treated for free while getting his medications from Dr. Chapman. Good morning, Quentin February. How you doing?
Good morning, Mr. Roach.
How you doing,
Dad? I'm doing all right. How you doing, sir?
Glad you could make it. Do you want to tell us a little something about your situation with Dr. Chapman and detention? That they cut off his company, his payment for providing treatment.
Okay.
Dr. Chapman mentioned that he's been providing medical service for you and a few others because his contract has been terminated because he's been making some statements to show the unfairness or the injustices that has been going on with this opioid and Medicaid treatment for folks who are recovering from addiction. How long have you been out, and what is it that you're going through, man, to try to get yourself back together, Quentin?
I came home New Year's Eve of last year. I've been home for about 5.5 months now. I applied for Medicaid when I first came home. They put me on hold.
They told me it was in the process.
It never came through. I went down there about a month ago. They told me the same thing. I'm still been waiting. It's been 5.5 months. I have no Medicaid. No Medicaid at all. No food. I'm considered homeless. I'm living with someone. I'm living with my mom. She let me stay there, but I'm still considered homeless.
Let's take a quick break for a PSA. We'll be right back.
I'm Janelle Anderson. I've been listening to WPFW since the 80s. It has helped manage my lifestyle, and that listening to health programs turn me away from the hormone antibiotic meats. I've been a pescatarian since I had my girls listen to WPFW on the way to school, and that I believe they became organizers for justice. One co-founded a justice club in her high school, and another helped organize demonstrations. And I think today they are the better for just listening to those morning programs. I love the diverse format, from jazz to inspirational to talk. The programming has really grown me, and for those reasons and more, I support WPFW.
Okay, we're back. This is Roach Brown coming to you live from Ben's Chili Bowl here on historic U Street in Northwest Washington, D.C. I forgot to mention that the Smithsonian Museum Institution, rather, is designated Ben's Chili Bowl as when you visit America, one of the 20 iconic places you must visit for a down-home cultural meal that you can really feel a part of what's going on in this city when you come out of Chili Bowl. So this is, we are thankful that the family allowed us to come to you to bring our show to you. In fact, I grew up in the Chili Bowl for over 62 years. So I've been coming here over 62 years. I ain't but 50. You know what I mean? Now you do the math. So we had our second hour here at the Chili Bowl, and we're talking about the opioid crisis and fentanyl crisis in Washington, D.C., and how folks are dying or being treated and not being treated, and how we got an outstanding doctor who is risking his life, his profession, his livelihood to provide treatment for those who are in need, in spite of all the jiggy boogie, the red tape, and the crap you got to go through to get permission or approval so you can provide services to folks who are in need. Dr. Chapman, are you still with us?
I'm still with you, Broke.
Okay, and we still got Quentin February. Man, by the way, you got a name Quentin February. How you get a name like that?
Came from my mom. Yeah. My mom last name February, so that's what
came. Well, my name is Christmas, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, Doc, what is it? Why do you think you're going through all this trouble, man? And you're one of the few doctors that we see who's in the community. I mean, I don't have to find you in your office. I can see you in the street at a meeting or a party. You are everywhere where folks need help, and you're doing that, Doc. So what is it? Why are you doing what you're doing, man? And you're not being compensated now.
So, Roach, about 2 years ago, the Scientific American did an article, and they mentioned the fact that I was one of the few doctors who treat African-American patients nationwide for opioid use disorder. If you look at the media, you would think that this was a white disease. But opioids have been in our community since the Vietnam era and probably even before. So this is nothing new, but it's typical of the fact that our community is undertreated and ignored in the media to begin with, which transitions to government policies and the total attitude of the community in general. So we're still decades behind thinking that this is a moral problem as opposed to a medical problem. So we've spent a lot of time trying to educate the community. I work very closely with the Howard University College of Medicine and the Howard University College of Pharmacy. And we actually proved in 2017 that because of the exposure of our patient population disproportionately to fentanyl and these synthetic opioids that are 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine, that our patients needed higher doses. That was finally accepted in just last year by the National Institutes of Drug Abuse and the FDA. So they've actually changed the label based on the work that we did here in the District of Columbia. If you look at our patient population, you'll see that 30% of the overdoses occur in the homeless population. So that should tell you something right there, that being homeless puts you at increased risk for overdose and death. And of course, we know that our patients have been disproportionately incarcerated for treatment, and we're still seeing that pattern. So what we're trying to do and working with you and other groups, including the Optimistic Gentleman, which you're a part of, as well as Cruz, that we've been reaching out into the community to try to change this paradigm, because it's obviously a genocidal, as far as I'm concerned, a genocidal track. If you have increasing numbers of people going to jail for treatment, then they're obviously not getting the treatment in the community.
Right. Hold tight a minute, Doc. We're going to read, this is our fund drive, and we got to make a pitch to get some money to make sure we can stay on the air and come to you. Go
ahead. This is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. We need your support, and we thank you for the support you've given us over the years. To call in to donate, 202-588-9739 and 800-222-9739. Cash App is $WPFW. WPFW, The phone in number, again, 202-588-9739, 800-222-9739. What you're hearing now is what should not even be happening. Doctors are doing what doctors are doing, and Dr. Chapman is being tied, hands tied, not able to provide for his patients the way he needs to. We need your support. Get involved, audience. Thank you.
You know, on top of that, if we think about all the budget cuts and the laying off of people in the federal agencies and nonprofit groups all across the country are having their grants suspended, stopped, curtailed, taken away, this is going to lead to this problem we're talking about now, the increase of opioid addiction and fentanyl. Folks, this is only the tip of the iceberg. Things is going to get worse and worse. And we got a young man here with us named Quentin February. I like that name. You should be in a football player or boxer. That's a famous name, Quentin February.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Since you've been out, what are you doing now? Are you getting any treatment now for your opioid addiction? Or how's that happening with you now? Where do you go to get treatment if you need medication?
Since I've been home since December 31st, I've been getting treatment from Dr. Chapman with no Medicaid. He been helping me out since day one with a lot of resources.
Your Medicaid has been terminated? And
I haven't had no Medicaid since I've been home.
You've been home 5 months?
5.5 months, and I have no Medicaid at all, no food
stamps.
What
about medication? You had no food stamps? Doing?
I'm taking my medication that I've been distributed from D.C. jail.
How much did they give you when you left the jail? How much medication did they give you?
I think it was probably like 4 months worth or 90 days worth.
Yeah.
But I don't take it every day. So like I'm on mental health medicine. So I take my high blood pressure medicine every day, but other medicine, some days I don't take it. So I still have pills left over that I take sometimes when I need it.
Yeah.
But right now I have no Medicaid, no food stamps. I don't have anything.
So how are you living, man? Where you live at?
You know, I live with my mom. My mom is very supportive of me. She helps me with a lot. I have other relatives that help me also, and also Dr. Chapman helps me a lot.
Yeah,
you know, I could give him a call any time of the day, and he'll answer for me, and you know, give me advice. He'll help me with anything that I need help with.
Yeah,
you know, and he's been a big part of my life since I've been home with my opiate addiction.
Is this your first time being in locked up and coming out? No, sir. Or you returning since you've been in before and coming out?
Yes,
so how many times have you been locked up in
Since 2019, I only had 1 year on the streets.
So that's in 6 years.
Yeah.
1 year in the street. And the rest of the time, you've been inside.
Yes, sir.
Were you receiving medication for your opiate addiction while you were inside the jail?
Yes, sir.
Was it sufficient enough to take care of the urge to make sure that you can function?
Yes, sir. It helped me when I was over D.C. jail, but... Like you guys was talking about, Mr. Roach and Dr. Chaplin was speaking about, is about with the opium crisis is you walk around D.C., you see so many homeless people that need help, and no one is willing to help them.
Yeah.
They say there's so many resources out here, but no one is really coming out there really helping. You know, I've been home for 5.5 months, and once again, I have no help at all.
Sir, if you didn't have Dr. Chapman in your life, where would you be?
I'll be honest with you, I'd probably be back incarcerated.
Yeah.
One time, I sent them a text message about you know, going back down the same road again, you know. And he sent me a message back to let me know that that's not the right thing to do.
Yes, yes.
You know, sometimes, man, it makes me cry, you know, because, man, I know the split second of a moment I could be right back incarcerated.
Yeah.
Because no resources, man.
Go ahead, Doc. You want to say something?
Yes. Yeah, so I have a physician who's flying in today from Buffalo University. We're going to be on a panel tomorrow at the DC City Council to discuss this. This physician has developed a tracking system that would identify people like Quentin who are coming out of jail. Their names would go into this system, and then we would be able to follow them and follow whether or not they're getting the appropriate treatment, whether they're able to make their appointments. It's called, the system is called Matter. It's been in operation in the state, all over the state of New York. They've just expanded it to Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And we presented this system as a funding opportunity for the district last year through the Howard University College of Pharmacy. That grant was not approved, but I'm just showing you as an example, this system would track somebody, let's say, who overdosed on the street and refused to go to the hospital. You take their name, identification, put it in the system. If they went to the hospital, you would get their identification. If they were started treatment in the emergency room, that information would be there. So we would then have a unified database that would identify all of these patients out here to make sure that they don't fall through the cracks. That doctor, Joshua Lynch, is flying in. He said he'll be here at 4:30 this afternoon. We're gonna go to dinner tonight. And then we're gonna present this again in a panel format tomorrow to the DC Council. So we hope to get your support. This is a state-of-the-art system that's been funded with millions of dollars because it saves money, saves lives, and will put an end to this these gaps in care that we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. We need data. We need outcomes data. And if you look at what Trump is doing, he's actually removing all of the oversight and data systems. That's why he's getting rid of all the good scientists, top scientists at NIH and SAMHSA. I'm not going backwards. I'm trained in science through Howard University, undergrad, Howard University College of Medicine, and I'm not going backwards. I know how to do this. I've had the best teachers, the best professors in the world to train me. And before I leave here, I'm not quite 80 years old. I'll be 80 next year trying to catch up with you.
I thought you was older than that, Doc. What you mean you're not quite? You're older than me.
So I'm not going backwards. And I have grandkids, and I want them to understand the best of science. We're not going to follow this foolishness that we're seeing, putting these incompetent people in charge of our lives.
You know, let me ask you this, Doc. I know you personally, and we go to a lot of meetings and participate in all kinds of projects. Are there any more doctors like you? Because I haven't met another doctor in the city, and I was born and raised here, who has a compassion and commitment to his patients as you do. And we want to see exactly, excuse me, are there any more doctors doing what you do? And on top of that, what can folks do who's listening to you to help? Because we're talking about a crisis that's going to get pregnant in a matter of weeks. This crisis we're talking about now with fentanyl and overdose and heroin overdose deaths is increasing all across the country. And then we know that when you lose your employment and your housing, your level of depression eases up, and you're more susceptible to trying these things to get take the pain away, to so you can function. Are there any more doctors doing what you're doing? And what can the people listening to you, Doc, because you said you got to meet tomorrow at the city council. What do you expect to come out of this council tomorrow that's going to help folks in the street today?
So I've worked with psychiatrists from UCLA. I've given talks to the Black Psychiatrists of America just recently in Atlanta. Dr. William Lawson, who you know locally, is one of those physicians. We've all been working together. Physicians from West Virginia have come to my office. A top pharmacist from Brown University came to my office. So we have the wherewithal and the knowledge to do this, but we have to get, as you say, the jiggity boogity out of the way. I hope I said it right.
No, jiggy boogie. Take it like jiggy boogie.
Okay. But I seriously believe that there are people who are trying to kill us, you know, because they refuse to accept the knowledge, the academic knowledge that we put in front of them. And we've had to fight to get to this point, and I'm going to fight all the way out. You know, I'm not going to stop. I am allergic to two things, morphine and BS. And I'm intellectually immune to ignorance.
Oh, I like that. Boy, you something else, Doc. I like that. Alrighty. Nikita, you got something you want to ask our good doctor friend?
She's muted.
Oh, she's on. She stepped away for a minute. Doc, you mentioned Dr. Lawson. We meet here at the Chili Bowl after the show every Tuesday for less time to get involved. And we got a group of people that meets here at the Chili Bowl every Tuesday with one of the owners, Kamal Ali and Kenny Barnes from Roots and a whole lot of other folks and the people from Cruise, Optimistic Gentlemen, a whole range of nonprofits. We meet here to figure out what we can do to stop some of the violence and the killing and this opioid crisis that's impacting our community. And if you're listening, folks, this is we're bringing you shows that are connected to community events and activities. And we just don't bring you a show and we do it and we leave. We bring you the show, we follow up on the topic, and we talk to the people who are doing what we call the boots on the ground work. And you got guys like Tyrone Parker, Brother Tate, my man Scotty Prince. Man, these guys are busting their tails to do it again, and they don't have the resources. Here you doing all this work, Doc, with no money. Is there anything on the horizon to get you some funds so you can provide more services and get more doctors to help you to do it? Because this is too big for one man, for you and Dr. Lawson.
So Roach, the Leadership Council for Healthy Communities supposedly has two grants that are coming. One is for people with opioid use disorder who are over 55. That's one of the groups that we talked about. And the second grant is for returning citizens. And those grants include the Optimistic Gentleman and Cruise. There has not been a lot of talk about it because they haven't gotten the money yet. But yes, that's what we're talking about. There are millions of dollars in the Opioid Abatement Commission that could be used towards this effort. And as far as I'm concerned, those are dollars that Trump cannot impact. Those are dollars that came from lawsuits of these private companies that now sit in the coffers of the District of Columbia and many other states. So those are the monies that can be used to get this. We have the community ability, the expertise, the momentum to do this, but the money has to be put in the hands of the right people.
Now, question. Since you got a working relationship at Howard University, do you think it's a possibility that you get Howard University or one of the medical colleges to get involved and make some of them doctors who are in the last year of graduate school and they do 6 months practicum, that they last 6 months before they graduate, they can work with doctors like you in the community with boots on the ground and see what we can do, because you need help. I ride by your place, man, and I see guys standing on the side and the front and the back, and they're waiting for you to come in and you need treatment. But you were just one person. Again, you think Howard University, if you approach Howard or Georgetown or George Washington, see what they could do to provide some for doctors to help as backup to support what you're doing.
So Roach, you're absolutely right. There are at least five universities in this city. You have Catholic University, D.C., the University of the District of Columbia, and as you mentioned, George Washington, Georgetown, and Howard. So we have all of the expertise here. To advertise the district as the sports capital of the world, I think, is an insult. We are the intellectual capital of the world, and that's how we should put ourselves forward. So you can't make me a clown, which is what I think they're trying to do. You know, is say that, oh, we're just here for fun and games. No, we're here for serious business. We're here to save our people.
Okay.
This is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice, 89.3 Pacifica Radio. To donate, 1-800-222-9739. That's 1-800-222-9739. Or 202-588-9739. 588-9739. Cash App is $WPFW.
WPFW FM.
We need your support. Information like this is not heard anywhere. And we're in a very trying time here in America. We have the power. We need to step up. The people can make the difference. We need to support Dr. Edward Chapman, what he's doing with people like Quentin February, who only deserve the best. They've given their time to this prison system, and it's time for us to step up and help our people.
Okay, we want to
I just want to say there are a couple of folks to thank, if that's okay. There are a couple of anonymous donations from Silver Spring, Maryland, anonymous from Arlington, Virginia. Kathy Moore from Landover, Maryland says, greetings and keep up the good work. Janice Jefferson says, from Chevy Chase, Maryland, says she's coming back for more and for the more rap. Okay, Martine, that's for you. So I just wanted to, you know, shout out and say thank you so very much for those donations and keep them coming, keep them coming. Crossroads has a little bit more way to go. Back to you, Roach.
Dr. Edwin Chapman, and then, man, this is, I really like this guy, and we meet, we talk about stuff, and when you meet somebody who's passionate as you are about the topic that you're involved in, and this guy has just lost his contract, and he's still providing services. Martine and I was in the same boat. We just got our grant terminated as well as our contract, so the sledgehammer that's been imposed all across the country about these budget cuts out of the White House is impacting us in ways that we never even thought. I never thought now at this age, we got to try to find, make a living at 80 years old. And I thought this is, we're supposed to be coasting, but it doesn't make no difference. We can do what we do as long as we can, while we can, to see what we can do to help those folks to make their life a little better. And Dr. Chapman is one of our premier supporters in terms of making sure that folks get the help that they need. And this man needs help. We all need help. But the key to this is if we all come together, we can make things happen. You can donate on 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 on the web, WPFWFM.org. Cash App, $WPFW. Folk, we need your help. To bring you these kinds of stories. As we said before, we bring guests on the show who are friends of ours, who we work with, who are associates. And these people are doing to work in the trenches. They have the boots on the ground. So if you're interested and you want to help out, please call us at the station and see and do what you can. Because right now, we need everybody involved. Because of what's going on to us, we're live at the world-famous Ben's Chili Boat. And this family is supportive of everything that we're doing in terms of trying to make life better for those less fortunate. And there's a line in the Bible, when you do this for the least of those, you do it for me. And folk, and these people are doing the least for a lot. So we need your help to stay on top. And we got our good friend Quentin here. I'm looking at Quentin right now, Quentin February. He's been out several months. He's in recovery. He's taking treatment from Dr. Chapman for his addiction problems. But the brother need a job, need a house, need clothing. Everybody need help when they come out of these institutions. And folk, if you think this is a problem now, we're in, it's May, right? Maybe the next 90 days or 3 or 4 months, you can see a tremendous amount of cases coming into the jail, coming out, people laying on the street. There's a city in New York, in Philadelphia, where everybody on it is taking that, what's that drug, doc, that eats your skin up, and folks their bodies are being eaten up alive while they're taking these drugs. What's that drug called?
Or bath salt?
No, crank or tank?
Xylazine.
Xylazine. And what is that drug doing? Because I saw a man, it turned my stomach to see folks walking with abscess, like their skin is being eaten alive, and they're standing in statues like they can't move. And this xylazine, this is on top of heroin and fentanyl. Is that correct?
Yeah, so xylazine is really an animal tranquilizer. And it's mixed in now with the drug supply, and it is designed to extend the high. But if it's injected, it causes terrible ulcers that are very difficult to heal. I have rarely seen that, even though I've had 50 patients to test positive for xylazine, because many of our patients now are no longer injecting, they're smoking it. So they're inhaling it through their lungs. So that may be the difference and the reason why we're not seeing these terrible ulcers here.
Is this the problem? How's our youth? How's this opioid and fentanyl crisis affecting our youth? Because we know we had the show previously. We talked about marijuana and cannabis, and a lot of youngsters are using this. Are you seeing an increase in young people using xylazine, opioid, and heroin, and fentanyl?
So again, we're seeing this transition, I think, from the older population to these younger folks, and many of them are getting pills from the internet that are not necessarily opioids. They might be benzodiazepines or what they think are amphetamines, or even cocaine. These synthetic opioids like fentanyl are mixed in with those drugs. So virtually everything that's on the street now can be tainted with just a grain of the size of a grain of sand is enough to kill you.
Wow, is that powerful, huh?
It's that powerful.
So do you have any patients under 21 years old in your practice, doc, who's been addicted to this?
My youngest patient is 24 right now. But again, we're seeing this younger population generally coming out of the D.C. Detention Center to really monitor that. And that's what the MATTER system would help us to do. We would be able to track patients, younger patients who are being assessed at, let's say, Children's Hospital. So that would really be the focal point to determine what is happening in our younger generation, whether they're seeing an increase in young people at Children's Hospital and some of their clinics addicted to opioids.
You know, they got Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the Secretary of Health and Human Services up in Washington. Has any of his decisions impacted you, or you see an impact coming down the pike in terms of providing services for folk who are dealing with this drug problem? because there's a lot of folks who are opposed to Robert F. Kennedy and his concept and his views on vaccine and et cetera. Do you see anything coming out of his shop that's going to impact us here in Washington, D.C.?
So Dr. Lynch that I mentioned that's coming here from Buffalo was on CNN just this past Friday talking about the fact that access to Narcan, the monies for Narcan is being cut, even though this administration is talking about increasing services. So we're dealing with double talk. We're dealing with them saying one thing and doing something else. When he gets off the plane today, he has a meeting with CNN. So I'm sure, and there was an article in the Washington Post on the reduction in funds for Narcan. So obviously, yes, Robert F. Kennedy and the folks that are working with him are having a terrible impact on this epidemic.
I know I'm from Washington. I know one of the most well-known drug treatment facilities was RAP Incorporated, R-A-P. I know RAP is still going on because drugs was a big problem back then. So do we have any other treatment facilities, or what treatment facilities? Somebody want to get off of drugs, where do they go? Who do they turn to?
So again, it depends on what the substance is. Fortunately, we have these medications for opioid treatment, but only 20% of people generally, Black or white, that need medication are actually on medication. And a lot of it has to do with stigma, myth, and in our community, the numbers are less than 10%. So we hear, you know, we're confronted with people all the time who say, I was addicted to drugs. I was addicted to opioids, and I came off by myself years ago. This is a totally different ball of wax. The marijuana today is not the marijuana of 50 years ago. The opioids today is not the opioids of 50 years ago.
Wow.
We're dealing with a totally different animal.
Okay.
Ooh,
go ahead.
You hear what's going on. You hear Dr. Edwin Chapman, and we need your support, people. The call-in number is 202-588-9739 or 800-222-9739. Cash App is $WPFW. We need your support, Quentin. February is one of many. These are hometown folks who we need to support. We need your help.
Okay, thank you. And we're coming to you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl. We're out of time, Doc. Can you, Quentin, you got anything you want to say before I turn it over to the doctor? We got a couple of minutes.
I would just thank you for inviting me, Mr. Roach, Dr. Chaplin, Mrs.
That's my wife.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I enjoy my time here with you guys. And I just wish, you know, more people will get involved and, yeah, you know, and help. Because like you said, it's going to get worse.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, I got two sons. So, you know, I want the best for them, you know. So I want to show them the best. I want to be the best role models ever. So, you know, Dr. Chaplin helped me out with that. So,
okay.
I appreciate you guys having me here and explaining my story. And hopefully, you know, things will get
better. Happen, yeah. Well, your story's out there. Somebody going to hear and somebody going to call, man. Because, again, we all got to help each other.
Yes,
the only
sir.
Person going to save us is us. Yes, all that waiting on somebody else, let's all come together, people. Because anybody could be in Quentin's shoes. This could happen to anybody. I was addicted to drugs back in the 60s and the 70s. So what? The bottom line is it's over. Our time is up, Doc. You want to give a number how they can reach you, Dr. Chapman, if they want to follow up on our conversation?
So my office number is 202-396-8550. And just one last statement, Roach. These insurance companies are getting paid every month to take care of these folks. And if you think about it from a business standpoint, they actually make money by not finding these patients.
And so that's really a part of the problem that we're up against. Those of us who can find them and get them in treatment cost money. It creates a problem.
Okay, thanks, Doc. I guess it's been Dr. Edwin Chapin and Quentin February. We've been talking about the opiate and fentanyl crisis in Washington, D.C. I'm Roach Brown with Mertine. Our time is up. We'll see you next Tuesday. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas. To a hope that won't fade.
Come, Jesus, come. In celebration of the life and legacy of activist and composer Bernice Johnson Regan, Wise Regan Arts and Strathmore presents Over My Head, I Hear Music in the Air, a night of song, poetry, and reflection, featuring Toshi Regan with special guests Liz Wright, Alexis Pauline Gums, original members of the Freedom Singers, and more. Friday, May 16th at the Strathmore. Information at strathmore.org.
Hi, this is Jim Byers, host of the Latin Flavor Classic Edition. For nearly 5 decades, support from listeners like you has kept WPFW's wheels rolling. In fact, the single largest category of donations comes from those who donate an unused car to the station. That's right, running or not. Even a car sitting idle that needs thousands of dollars in repairs can do wonders for WPFW. If you can't drive it, donate it. WPFW will get the proceeds, and you'll get a tax break. Go to WPFWFM.org or call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-973-9227 for more information. Help WPFW continue building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
My Body, My Festival 2025, DC's only abortion access music festival, is coming May 16th and 17th. Presented by the DC Abortion Fund and Burger Sounds, My Body, My Festival will take place at the Black Cat and Union Stage, featuring local artists across genres, including Alex Vaughn, Carly Harvey, Cicely, Taisha Estrada, B. Steadwell, Zoe Jorgensen, and more. My Body, My Festival is a celebration of our city and ensuring abortion care is available to all who need it. Details at mybodymyfestival.com.
Wondering how to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
WPFW has been a site of resistance in defense of truth, justice, and culture for 48 years. Our spring membership drive begins with a special celebration of James Brown's birthday, May 3rd, and closes with a centennial birthday celebration of Malcolm X on May 19th. Two pillars of music and message. Your financial sustenance is needed more than ever to continue this type of programming. As a new listener or current member, this is your opportunity to contribute to the growth of an institution that stands resolute against both gross injustice and repression and the mass erasure of history and culture by amplifying the voices of scholars, artists, and activists whose work centers the humanity of all people. That's 48 years of being a site of resistance in defense of truth, justice, and culture, May 3rd through the 19th. WPFW works daily to build the world we want to inhabit by building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
How we gonna make reparations mine? Educate, educate, organize. How we gonna make reparations mine? Educate, educate, organize.
Reparations Valley, Saturday, May 17th, a festival of unity and celebration of the ongoing quest for reparations, as well as the 100th anniversary of the birth of Malcolm X. Speakers include Michael Eric Dyson, Robin Ruth Simmons, O'Malley Yeshitela, Ajua Ayatoro, with virtual remarks from Marilana Karinga, actress Erica Alexander, and Ben Chavis. Performance include the rapper Rascaz, along with DC's own Ayanna Gregory, Afi Soul, Lucy Murphy, Nana Malaya, and the Malcolm X dancers and drummers. Free